Blair Kirchhoff, our monthly guest, thereabouts, from the Kansas City Star, longtime journalist. We're going to talk some Kansas City sports with Blair. Hello, Blair. How are you?
Good, Bob. How about yourself?
We're doing okay. We're doing okay. So here are the Chiefs, undefeated. Certainly a team that you would think has a really legitimate look at a third consecutive Super Bowl championship, yet they don't seem to be able to really put it all together or blow teams out or click on all cylinders. Explain the Chiefs to us, because we know they're really, really good, but why can't they ever just have a game where they win 35-7?
I know. Other teams seem to do that. I watch the Bills or the Ravens or the Lions, especially the Lions, and they all have, they've all had games this year where they, the game is salted away, certainly by the fourth quarter, and that never seems to be the case with the Chiefs. They'll have a touchdown lead with the ball and turn it over in the second half, or a really questionable call by Todd Bowles, the Tampa Bay coach, for not going for two, for maybe losing the game on Monday night. And it's really odd with them. When you see NFL power ratings out, the Chiefs aren't number one in a lot of them, just because for this reason, because they do play everybody close. So now on the flip side of that, they'll tell you, they still have issues and they're 8-0 and the best is yet to come for them. I do think that the addition of DeAndre Hopkins is going to take a little more time to get the maximum value, but he has shown that he's going to be valuable to them. He's been valuable in the two games that he's played, and once they get that weapon really on board, then I think you're going to see a better Patrick Mahomes, a better offense, and maybe Kansas City playing its best football in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I might have been with that kind of narrative of the Chiefs not really putting it together maybe last January after they'd lost to the Raiders and were kind of still, is this team really going to click? Or maybe even in September this year when it feels like to me they've hacked the system. Like, we can kind of preserve – they're doing what NBA teams do almost. They're going to flip the switch when it matters in a game and in a season, and I think they're just going to keep winning. Is that crazy?
Yeah, and it's not crazy. I think all the evidence supports that idea that, that they can, a few things that they do that are, if you're a Chiefs fan, that are going to have to be kind of annoying to you. And that is, one of them is they never win the turnover battle. It's a team that is really been mediocre when it comes to takeaways. They had they were negative turnover margin last year and they're negative this year. So a lot of times games will get out of hand because the winning team will have a +3 in the turnover margin, and the Chiefs never seem to have anything like that. Mahomes had a pick in each of his first seven games, which was really unusual. I think the fact that they've won 14 in a row, they've been behind in the second half in eight straight games. I mean, it's really kind of remarkable when you see what this team has accomplished and what they what they're about. But they've beaten not only, they've beaten bad teams, good teams on the road. They've won in every situation in this 14-game winning streak, and they're just amazing. I don't know what to compare them to. People talk about the big great Patriots team of the Tom Brady era, but even when the Patriots were going great, they were, because their defense was so suffocating, they would beat people by multiple touchdowns. Chiefs don't seem to do that.
Blair Kirchhoff with us from the Kansas City Star. One of the reasons I love having Blair on the show is because I've known him a long time, and he can jump around and talk about a bunch of different things. So let's go to KU basketball. They have a highly interesting game coming up tomorrow night against North Carolina. That's a really interesting early season game. Here you have KU with some familiar faces, no doubt about it. KJ Adams, Hunter Dickinson, DeJuan Harris. But they have all these intriguing transfer portal guys, too, and a freshman or two that are interesting as well. Makes them really fascinating, doesn't it?
It does. I'm not sure they're the preseason number one team or the top-ranked team, especially after what happened in the exhibition game against Arkansas. But maybe that's a kind of a good sign for Kansas, that they do seem to have a lot of talent, and they fixed the thing that ailed them most a year ago, and that was perimeter shooting. You know, and they've fixed it through the transfer portal, and they're just, it's going to take them a little while to get adjusted to each other and the, you know, the Bill Self and KU way. But I do think when this team plays up to its potential, it's going to be as good as anybody in the country. And you're right, this is a Friday night against North Carolina. Who'd have ever thought we'd see the Tar Heels and Jayhawks play on each other's home floor? Kansas goes to the Dean Dome next year. You know, we lived through the, you know, Dean Smith saying he would never play the Jayhawks in a regular season game and pass that on to Roy Williams, who said he'd never play the Tar Heels in a regular season game. And then when he became the UNC coach, would say the same thing about never playing KU. So finally, you know, they put the two Blue Bloods together on a campus game. And I just think it's going to be a very cool sight to see North Carolina take the floor tomorrow night.
I just changed my mind about something. I don't know if you saw the Roy Williams quote where he said he couldn't go into Allen Fieldhouse and cheer for the other team, meaning North Carolina. And I was thinking, well, can't you just go and not cheer? But he did coach all those guys, or most of those guys, and Hubert Davis was his kind of almost handpicked successor. So I guess it would make sense that he would root for North Carolina and maybe cheer. But should he be at that game?
Yeah, I think so. Especially if, and this is a big if, right? If he goes to next year's game in Chapel Hill, so I would. He has been back to Lawrence and Allen Fieldhouse for events in the last few years, so it's not like it would be a first or they'd have to celebrate it in a big way. But I just think symbolically, he should probably be there as a. You know, as a guy who, you know, was an incredible coach at both programs, that really doesn't happen. It hasn't happened much in the history of college basketball to be as successful as he was coaching two blue blood programs. And I think the game will be, you know, it'll be a little less for the fact that he's not going to be there I don't know where he would sit. Would he sit behind, maybe he'd sit in midcourt, not behind either one of the benches, just put him right at midcourt. So, I know he's kind of corny about things like that. He was corny about a lot of things, but I think it would have been appropriate if he'd been at this game.
Blair Kirkhoff with us from the Kansas City Star. Let's make the jump to the Royals now. It's off season, of course, but last off season, John Sherman opened up the checkbook and really built a strong starting pitching staff. Now, is he going to open up the checkbook and build a team around that pitching staff?
Well, the signing of Michael Wacha indicates that they want to continue to have that strong starting rotation. And I'm glad Wacha wanted to stay in Kansas City. I think he could have gotten a similar or even maybe a little better deal elsewhere. But like what he has here, like the likes the team, likes the future of the Royals, and I think he wanted to kind of settle down in one place for a few years, and that was a really good first sign for the offseason was getting him signed and being a part of that rotation for 2025. I don't know how much they're going to spend or what the payroll. How much the payroll will improve. They do need some help in places. They need a little. I think they need to try to get a power bat in the in the lineup somewhere between Pasquantino at three and Salvi. I think you need a four or five hitter depending on where you hit Salvi, and I'd like to. I really would like to see him get a leadoff hitter who can get on base in front of Bobby Witt. I heard this great stat the other day that Aside from leadoff hitters, Bobby Witt had the most plate appearances with nobody on base this season. And Bobby Witt needs to have somebody on base in front of him. So, I think it's key to get somebody who knows how to, you know, it doesn't have to be a 300 hitter, but he needs to have an on-base percentage, you know, pretty decent number to, you know, to help Witt out even more than, you know, than he's helping the Royals.
He should just hit leadoff, Bobby Witt, probably.
Yeah, I've had the same idea, and I don't think he wants to, and that's of course a player like that is certainly his prerogative, but Ohtani hits leadoff, and you get that's you know, the analytics all suggest that your best hitter should get as many plate appearances in a game as possible, and there's no way to the only one guaranteed to that is a leadoff hitter.
Blair, always fun. We appreciate your time. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you in a month or so.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. See you.